still looking for a dream. A war's already waged for my destiny. But you've already won the battle, and you've got great plans for me. Though I can't always see, 'cause I got a couple dents in my fender, got a couple rips in my jeans. Try to fit the pieces together, but perfection is my enemy. And on my own I'm so clumsy, but on your shoulders I can see I'm free to be me. When I was just a girl, I thought I had it figured out. You see, my life would turn out right, and I'd make it here somehow. But things don't always come that easy, and sometimes I would doubt. Oh, 'cause I got a couple dents in my fender, got a couple rips in my jeans. Try to fit the pieces together, but perfection is my enemy. And on my own I'm so clumsy, but on your shoulders I can see you're free to be you. Sometimes I believe that I can do anything, yet other times I think I've got nothing good to bring. But you look at my heart and you tell me that I've got all you seek. Oh, and it's easy to believe.
Praise the Lord. By the way, she gave me that song last night at about 9 or so, and I had to hunt it on the internet, found it on the internet, and then found the video for it, and then had to lay it into a DVD. So it can be done. I proved it. Praise the Lord. Why don't you stand with me right now? And lift your Bible toward heaven. Thank you, Jesus. This is the living word of God that I trust and obey. What it says is true from Genesis to Revelations. Today my heart is receptive and my spirit is alive. As I learn to submit my will to His, I am forever changed. A child of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, take this message, I pray, God. Help us to learn of You, O Lord. I pray this in Your mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen. You may be seated. How many of you this morning have ever had to go to a cardiologist? Okay? And you go to this cardiologist, you probably know what a stress test is all about, right? Yeah, I know too. They hook you up to a monitor. Then they put you on this lovely treadmill. And you think it's going to be simple until they start it. And you're walking comfortably until they increase it. And your comfortable walking becomes more stressful walking. And all of a sudden you're sweating because you're trying to keep up with the treadmill. And it's going and it's going. And you're saying, when is this going to stop? And then it stops. And then all of a sudden, this little thing prints up. And the cardiologist gets it. And he looks at it. And he gives you that look. How many of you know what look I'm talking about? What have you been doing in your life? It's that look of heart problems or heart health. See? The treadmill is turned off, the monitor comes out, the printed readout, and the results tell the cardiologist the true condition of our heart. Well, in a similar manner, God will send things into our lives from time to time that are designed to test our level of commitment to Him. He puts us all through stress tests at different times in our lives. He does this to give us a diagnosis concerning the condition of our faith. There's something about seeing the actual printout of an EKG that keeps us from fooling ourselves about the condition of our hearts, doesn't it? When that EKG comes out and you see all those lines, you can't read them. But the cardiologist can. He says, okay, your heart's in good shape. Or he could do the obvious and say, oh my goodness. See? But you can't fool it when it comes off that list and that printout is done. Well, there's something about the results of God's test that forces us to come to grips with the condition of our faith. We may be able to fake it in the pew. We may be able to fake it in a prayer meeting. But God's strenuous testing shows our faith for what it really is. These tests are designed not only to reveal some weaknesses in our faith, but they are designed to strengthen our faith. You see, that is so important. God tests you and I, but God also said in His Word, I do not tempt you. Who is the tempter? Satan, Lucifer, the devil, whatever way you want to put it, he's the one that lays out temptation. He's the one that's going to throw things at you to tempt you not to have faith or to loosen your faith or not to follow God. But God, on the other hand, will not throw a temptation out to you, but He will test you on the magnitude of the commitment you have with Him. And you say, Pastor, why? I'm glad you asked. He does it because He wants you committed 100% to Him. He loves you that much that He will give you the test to help you understand if your faith is weak, that's what that test is going to show. Just like the cardiologist, if your heart is not doing the way it needs to do, the cardiologist is going to see that, and then he's going to tell you what you need to get it better, right? Isn't that true? That's what his job is. He says, wow, your heart condition needs a little work. Okay? You need to get your blood pressure down. They tell me that every time I go in. But they're going to give you information that will help you get better. Is that true? To help your heart produce better. Well, that's exactly what the Lord does when He tests you. Strenuous test that He does, it is to help you understand what your faith condition is and what can be done to increase and better your faith. Whew. Hallelujah. That's good. This morning, what things in your life might hold you back from laying it all on the line for God? What things are you unwilling to lay down if He asked you to? We need to understand this as we all get tested in some way, and it will help us if we realize what God is doing. Martin Luther King said it this way: the ultimate measure of a person is not where they stand in moments of comfort and convenience, but where they stand at times of challenge and controversy. And that is so true in our lives. That cardiologist is not going to sit you down on an easy chair, look at your heart and say, "You're doing pretty good." That's no test at all. He's going to test it out to see where you stand. God, on the other hand, is going to do the same thing. He doesn't test your faith out on an easy chair. He doesn't test your faith out in sitting in a pew or in a prayer meeting. Where He's going to test your faith out and test your ability and your commitment to Him is out there. What you do out there and how He handles you out there, that's where the commitment comes in. Praise the Lord. It's easy to serve the Lord right here. It's easy to serve the Lord in a great prayer meeting that we have on Thursday night where the power of God comes down and you feel so good. But guess what? You got to leave that prayer meeting. You got to go back out in the world. You got to face the world. That's where the tests come in. And that's where God puts the stress test to you to help you understand what He wants for you. Hallelujah. Somebody say, oh my goodness. Or, oh good, or hallelujah. Say something. This morning, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 and 18. And I want to give you one patriarch in the Bible that God tested. One patriarch in the Bible that God tested. And his response to that test. And this was an ultimate test that God had to do. And here was his response. Verse 17, and it should come up. Good, she's right on with me. Verse 17, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Verse 18, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Verse 19, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Now, I got a little DVD I want to show you this morning in reference to what took place in Abraham's response. Let me turn the lights off, show this.
Abraham,
I am here.
Take your son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to a place I will show you, and offer him there as a burnt offering.
My son?
Yes, your son.
Let's be gone. Goodbye, Mother.
Oh, God go with you, son.
hates the place. You go on up ahead. I'll follow.
It's done. You must bind me, Father. In case my courage fails. You must, Father.
Lay your hand on the boy or do any harm to him. Now, I know that your faith is perfect because you would give to God what is most precious to you, your only son.
You would give to God what is most precious to you. And that's what exactly is what God is requesting out of each and every one of us today. To honor Him. To give what is most precious to you and I as an altar to Him. You have to understand that God asked Abraham to sacrifice the thing that meant the most to him in all his life. He asked him to give up his son. Woo! God wants us today to prove how serious we are about serving him. How serious are you in your service to God? You have to understand, he's going to cut to the chase. He's not going to play games with you. He's not going to ask you certain questions and see where your answers are. In Matthew 6:21, he says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Where your treasure is. He didn't want to play games with you. He doesn't want to mess around. He's going to say it the way it is. And I'm so good that my God is that way. Sometimes we hee-haw around things, right? We kind of play around things. We try to work our way. We try to get our way through it, right? So we're going to say things that are going to be pleasing to what we want. God doesn't do it that way. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. Whew! Is there something in this life that you love more than God? The true test to answer such a question is, what if he asked you to lay it on the altar? Do you love him enough to say, "Yes, Lord"? And see, that's the question. And that's the question he asked Abraham. And that's the question he asked each and every Christian today. Do you love him enough to lay whatever it is? Whatever it is. God is not telling you to have treasures. What he is telling you is, if I call upon them, are you willing to lay them on the altar? Are you willing to give them up? That's the test. Even though God asked a very difficult thing about Abraham, and I think that movie kind of depicted his sorrow after being told the sorrow that he had. As they even walked down the road, you could tell that he was in a perplexed mood. I believe he was stressed out to the max because he knew what he had to do. But it didn't say that he questioned God. He obeyed God. There is no evidence from the scripture at all that Abraham even argued with God. And the more we think about what God asked him to do, the more we are inclined to make excuses. Isn't that true? When God asks, act. I'll say that again. When God asks of you something, act. Don't argue. Don't try to figure it out, because you will not be able to. Don't try to come up with a better alternative, because you will think that you have reached that better alternative and you are trying to compromise with God. There is no compromise with God. When he tells you to do something, act. Do it. Because the longer you ponder it, the longer you try to figure it out, the longer you'll try to make excuses why you shouldn't do this or give God alternative, answers. Well, God, I know you said to do it this way, but isn't this way over here a little better? It's better for me. It's easier for me. So God, let's just do it that way. And the longer you do that, the more excuses you make, the more you are not abiding by what God wants. The Bible says, when God asked, just obey. Just obey. Is there something you know God wants you to give up, but instead you're arguing with him over it? I knew this was going to be an interesting message when I was studying it, because it's hitting ground to a lot of people. Is there something God is directing your pathway to give up, yet you're coming up with excuses why you shouldn't? Don't argue, act. And I say it this way, do it right away. Because the more you wait, the more excuses you'll come up with, and the more alternative viewpoints you'll make. And the harder it will be to finally do. Can you imagine if Abraham would have started arguing with God? No, I can't even imagine that. Abraham argue with God? No, I don't think so. But let's say, hypothetically, he would have. And he would have started making alternative suggestions to the Lord. Can you see any of us making alternative suggestions to God? No. But there are people that are. They figure they can do that. We're in grace today. We live in grace, so we can tell God what to do. I don't believe that's true. We do live in grace, but we do have a sovereign God. And I do believe when God tells you to do something, you should act immediately upon that. See, you got to understand too that Abraham had great faith. He had great faith in God. He had great faith. Hebrews 11, 17 and 19 shows this. Great faith does not mean we don't struggle. And that was an amen corner, by the way. How many ever been, when God has told you to do something and you know you're to do it, and you agree, and you set out to do it, but you start struggling within your heart. Oh my goodness, do I really? And you're saying this to yourself. I know you're not saying it to God, but you're struggling among yourself. Oh, this is so hard. This is so difficult. I believe Abraham did the exact same thing. I believe the struggle was there. If you don't think Abraham was wrestling with himself inside over this decision, then I think you're a little wacky. Because I do believe he struggled. I mean, that picture depicted the struggle that he was going through. The physical agony of his only son that he loved so dearly that he had to give up. Doesn't that come to a thought pattern of God and Jesus? I do believe that Isaac was a figurative figure of our Lord Jesus. When that same scenario, God had to make that ultimate decision too, to give up his own son. The difference was, there was no alternative. There was no goat sitting in the ram, sitting in the bushes waiting. There wasn't. Because Jesus was the Lamb of God. So you see the figurative point of what was taking place here with Adam, with Abraham and Isaac and God and Jesus. There is a point there that was really taking place. See, God doesn't even go against his own will. When he makes out the will and he says this has got to happen, then he understands even he had to go through it. With his own son. Can you imagine the stress that he went through? Can you imagine what he went through when his son was on that cross? Hallelujah. Can you imagine when his son looked up in heaven and could not feel his father's presence anymore? And then he cried out, "Oh God, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I don't believe God forsaken him, but the glory of God and the sovereignty of God could not be a part of sin. And Jesus at that point in time put on the sin of the world in his life. And God had to turn his face from his only son. His only. Do you understand? Even God, I believe, can go through agony. And I believe God goes through stress and agony with each and every one of you this morning when you're not following what he asked. Think about the times if you disobeyed God. Think about the stress and the agony that he must go through. Think about the Lord Jesus when he died on the cross. Now he's sitting at the right hand of God. He had paid the price for your sins. And then you turn around and bluntly sin before him. Can you imagine the stress that you're putting your Lord Jesus through? Wow! But yes, Abraham had great faith. I'm sure he fought back the tears unsuccessfully all the way to that altar. But although God was asking him to do something that seemed contrary to his nature, Abraham never let go of his belief in who God really was. A compassionate, a faithful, and an all-powerful God. Verse 19 gives you that depiction. He is saying there in verse 19, even though I slay my son, God, I know you are all powerful and that you can even raise him back from the dead. See, he understood that. He says, I know the agony. I know what I'm going to go through, but I have faith, God. I believe in you, God. And I know, God, that even if I have to slay my son, you can bring him back. Hallelujah. Do you understand? That's what faith is all about. That's what faith is all about. If God had the power to give him his son in his old age, God had the power to raise him from the dead. Last week I gave you the illustration of the three Hebrew children. I gave you the illustration of what they did. They said they would not bow before that God of Nebuchadnezzar. He says, my God will deliver us. But even if my God doesn't deliver us, I will not bow before your God. I will not bow before an image. I will not bow down and give up my faith in my God. And that showed great faith. And that great faith saved them. And they got an appearance from the Father. Do you understand that? Your faith, when you lay it down and lay it on the altar and say, I'm going to do this, that gives your mighty faith, an appearance with God. And the power of God comes on the board. And the power of God can do things that you didn't even think were even possible because you submitted. Abraham submitted. Do you have the faith to trust God even when it doesn't make sense? Will you trust him even in the darkness around you? You got to understand also, Abraham valued the blessing of God more than anything else in his life. The blessing of God. See, here's the way we do it. We all arrange our things, put them in order, and then ask God to bless them. You know, come on. I'm just as guilty as you on this one. We put it all together, lay it in place. See what I've done, Lord? Bless it. But God is saying there's another way and another picture to this, and it says, pray. And pray it this way. God, help me to do what you're blessing right now. Help me to do what you're blessing right now. Now, some of you say, well, I don't really know if he's blessing. Are you breathing? How many today are breathing air? Those of you that didn't raise your hand, I need to get back there and pray for you right now. Okay? And we'll start raising you from the dead right now. All of you are breathing, right? All of you have health. Some not as good as others, but you have health, right? Okay? You're here, right? That's a blessing, right? So God is blessing you right now, right? Okay? You didn't have to put it all together. You didn't have to wait until, you know, God's healing for you to be blessed. You didn't have to wait until things were great. You didn't have to hold your breath for God to bless. It was automatic. See, that's some of God's blessings to you. He blesses you automatically. And he also said in his word, he said, don't worry about the things of this world, the troubles, the things that you're going through in this world. Don't worry about them. If I can take care of the sparrows, if I can take care of the birds, if I can take care of those ants, if I can take care of the animals, can I not take care of you? Come on, people. That's the blessings of God. See, and Abraham saw that. And he looked for that blessing. He looked for just being blessed by God. And that's what he did. See, if you value something else more than God's blessing in your life, then you can be bought. Esau sold his birthright for a lousy cup of soup because he was hungry. He came off the hunt starving. Come on, people. You're going to let your body rule your spirit? He did. He came in so hungry, he says, what's worth having a birthright if I'm going to die? He didn't have faith and believe in God, and he sold it out for a cup of soup. Think on that. He did not value what God had in store for him. He did not value. The devil will always dangle carrots of compromise in front of you. That's his duty, to throw out compromises out in front of you, alternatives in front of you. Lay them out in front of you and say, you can do this. This is the easy way. So he's going to lay out a compromise in front of you. You are convinced in what you believe or God's blessing on your life is for sale. At what point would you be willing to sell out your blessing? At what point would you be willing to sell out? After it was all said and done, after the altar, the burnt offering, And it was all said and done. It said that Abraham came off that mountain closer and higher to God than he ever was even before he went. He came out closer to God than he had ever been in his entire life. Why? Why? Because he laid it all on the altar. He gave everything to God. He gave everything to God. You cannot believe. You can't even begin to imagine what it will be like if God has all of you. All of you. See, and in our society, in our world today, that's so very hard to do, is to give God all of you. Well, God, I'll give you Sunday morning. I'll get up, even though how hard it is, because I sure love to sleep in when I don't have to work. But I'll get up, and I'll give you Sunday. And all of you say amen to that. You're here. But God, there are days when I just want me. I want to do it my way. And so, God, you take back seat, and I'll drive for a while. What a disaster you just put yourself into. You driving and letting God. First of all, God, he's not going to be in that back seat. He knows how you drive. Come on. He knows. Get me out of this car. I know how my daughter drives. And I'm sitting on the passenger side. She doesn't know how much I hold on to those handles. She's not doing too bad a job. She's doing good. But you understand, God will not take second seat. God will not be second best. God wants all of you or none of you. Woo! Pastor, that's being a little hard. Well, you know what? Today, I need to get a little hard. I need to put some sense into you that God is a sovereign God. Yes, we live in the realm of grace. Hallelujah for that, because I could not do it in the Old Testament. And look how many patriarchs didn't do it in the Old Testament. So I thank God for his grace. I thank God for his love. I thank God for his patience, because I sure don't have it. But the bottom of the line, where it really is, and where God gets through the chase, and he says, where your heart is, there is where your treasure will be. That's cutting to the chase. That's telling you where it is. God says, I want all of you or none of you. If you can't give me 100% of you, then you might as well not serve me. Oh, my goodness, Pastor, am I really saying that? Yes. Jerry, I am. Because we are living in the last days. And in the last days, you will go through testing. You will go through trials. And tribulation is right around the corner. And if you can't make it now, you're not going to make it as days go on. Abraham was able to make it because he sold out to God. Abraham was able to make it because he gave it all to the altar. His most beloved son he put on that altar because he was willing to give it all. God says, I understand now that your faith is strong. God invites us all to the next level of living for him. But only a few will have the faith to accept that invitation. We can measure how close we are to God by the number of things we withhold or hold back from him. Do you want to feel spiritually rich? Do you want to walk with God on another level? Then be willing to lay it all on the altar. And then last but not least, if we will trust him enough to give everything to him, God will always replace whatever we're holding on to with a better alternative. The Lord will provide all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Say that with me. The Lord will provide all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. If we have that, he said he would provide. If we have that, he said he'd take care of you. If we have that, there's not a thing to go wrong because he said he'd take care of you. If God didn't give it to you, then he's got a better plan. He's got something better. Refuse cheap, worldly counterfeits. Lay it all on the altar. Accept nothing but God's best for your life. Do you dare trust him completely? Do you dare let God stretch your faith and take you to places you've never been before? Do you have the guts to defy the cultural mindset around you that says, live for the moment. If it feels good, do it. You've got the right to have it all. And instead, say, if it's not what God wants, you won't do it because he is my life. He is my treasure. He is my greatest, greatest possession. Bow your heads. Lord, as we prepare to meet you sooner than later, as we prepare for that day, help us put it all on the altar, sell out to you, and do not hold back anything. Because I know, Lord, if we hold back, then we lack faith. If we say it cannot be, we lack faith. If we try to make alternative suggestions, we lack faith. If we give excuses, we lack faith. Help us, I pray. Lord, for these few weeks, oh God, that I have given them messages on faith, oh God, this one is the main one. When we cut to the chase, oh God, this is it. This is it. When you test us, you test our faith. And God, when it comes right down to it, it's who we believe in is what really is going to count. It's where our heart is what's really going to count. God, we need to have a heartfelt knowledge of you. We need to put whatever is holding us back from serving you on that altar, without a question, without a doubt. We may have closet sins. Sins that no one else knows about. Sins that only you know about. We need to lay them on the altar, because that is what's holding you back from the glory of God. That is what's holding you back from the presence of God. That is what's holding you back from the power of God. Do you want more power in God? Lay it on the altar. Do you want to go into a new level of experience with the Holy Spirit and with God? Lay it on the altar. If you're struggling with anything and you in yourself cannot do it, Satan's dangling something in front of you and you're giving in over and over and over again, I tell you this morning, lay it on the altar. Lay it on the altar. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to search out your heart right now. Because this is between you and God. It's between you and God. If there is anything this morning that is holding you back from the power and presence of God, God already knows, but he wants you to acknowledge it to him. Not to me and not to anyone else. Anyone, their eyes are closed, no one is looking around. If there is anything this morning that is holding you back from the power of God, anything, I don't care what it is, anything, raise your hand and tell God. Raise your hand and tell God. Raise your hand. Don't tell me, tell God. Don't tell me, tell God. God, as they raise their hand and they lift their hand forward to you, Lord God, they're acknowledging whatever it is that's holding them back. God, you already know, and you know what's holding them back. You are not cutting to the chase. You're going to go right to where it is, and you're going to talk to them right now. I pray by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, right now, move through this congregation, O Holy Spirit, the convictor of sins, the administrator of your holy word. Move throughout our congregation right now and touch individuals. Sweet Holy Spirit, touch them with your presence. Touch them with your presence. Let them realize it's so much easier than what they think to lay it at the altar. It's so much easier. As Glendon plays, please pray right now and open up to God. If you feel the need to come to the altars are here. If you want to pray at your seat, pray at your seat. But take this time to lay it at the altar for God. Lay it at the altar for God. Lay it at the altar for God. Give it to him. Let us pray. Sovereign love toward us. Help us, O God. Help us, O God. Help us, O God, to love you. Help us, O God, to lay it down at the altar and leave it there. Leave it there. Walk away. Burn it up, Lord. And let our dedication unto you. Let our blessings, O God, flow from what you give us already, because we are blessed because of you. We are blessed because of you. Hallelujah. Let us stand. I think we could. I don't know if Alicia can find that song or not. But let's sing it. In the presence of God. Let's not forget my ending of this whole series on faith will be in about 3 weeks, and it will be in Hebrews 12, and it's run the race with endurance. I've given you all the steps on faith, finalizing it up right now, you know, with understanding that He does test us now. We run the race with endurance. So prepare for that. Next week, Pastor Ray will speak. Then our singspiration. And so God is good. He is so, so, so good to us. Bless you this week. Don't forget Thursday prayer meeting and all the different events that are taking place this month. Don't forget them.